Yes, sir. My test showed this is genuine zombie takeout, and a very good grade, I may add. What's up? Welcome to episode 11 of Zombie Takeout. The B-movie and cult movie podcast. And, well, this week is finally Scotto's pick.
Yeah, he's putting this one on me.
I've picked all the movies so far until now.
Hey, I wanted to do They Live.
Well, you didn't. I mean, there are others you agreed with, but I mentioned them. I brought them up. You brought this one up. I'd heard of it, but had never seen it before.
Well, you know, actually, the story of us picking this movie, I think, is more interesting than the movie itself.
Possibly.
We were talking about Bruce Campbell movies, remember?
Mm-hmm.
And there was My Name is Bruce.
Yes, which we will be doing next week.
If
all goes well.
This is a two-parter, of course.
Yes. Oh, I should point that out. This is the beginning of another two-part series of movies that have nothing to do with each other except the titles.
They're Bruce's.
Yes.
Well, there's definitely a similarity between the two.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But the deal is, you were talking about My Name is Bruce.
Right.
I thought you were talking about They Call Me Bruce. Mm. The two plots, of course, you know, everyone mistakes this guy for...
Yes.
I guess I should just go in.
Well, you just get into... Yeah, you might as well just get
into the
summer.
Intro now. Wow, where to begin? This guy, he begins in this horrible intro, one of the worst intros to a film in recent memory.
Although it did have one of the rare funny lines.
Well... The intro I'm talking about, of course, is just...
Oh, the theme music intro.
In the woods.
Okay, not the first scene.
Horrible early 80s music playing in the background.
Apparently racism was okay in 82.
Well, yeah. And, well, that's a really big question about this movie. Is it just ignorance or is it racism?
Yeah, true.
And is it, you know, are the two combined? Because Johnny Yoon is... probably the guy that wrote most of this.
Well, continue with the summary. We're
right.
Veering.
We are, right. So yeah, this kid's running through the woods in slow motion through the entire credits. It's one of the worst intros I can remember in years.
Horrible 80s song, running in slow motion, kid running in slow motion, that's it.
That's it, yeah. The credits are rolling over that. And really, the kid running through the woods... has absolutely nothing to do with the movie. He is running to his grandfather, who is on his deathbed, and of course, the line you're talking about.
Yes. You're asking. one of the rare funny lines, just for pure surprise. You know, elderly Chinese guy. You know, in the robe and the big white beard and the long hair. You know, typical. You know, 70s kung fu master looking guy.
Right.
And he says, life is about, and he coughs because he's about to die, and then he says, broads. I got a chuckle out of that, just because it was so unexpected.
You know, there were some things you kind of like, you kind of smirk through, and he did.
It was a rare chuckle in this movie.
Well, there were some moments where I was deep gut laughing.
Oh.
But... It was for the wrong reason, of course.
Of course.
I mean, that's how bad some of the jokes were in this. When they missed that bet, I just started laughing because they were that bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was a laughing at them rather than with them.
So anyway, his grandfather dies.
Yeah, the father of the young boy dies. He comes to America, but... he only got as far as Los Angeles for some reason, and he started working for this mob family, which, of course, you were informed by this knockoff of the Godfather theme.
There's quite a bit of knockoff music in this movie.
That would have been forgivable if it was just used at the first scene of the, you know, introducing them. However, they come back to it every time they come back to these guys.
And as if you needed the theme, as if the horrible pseudo-Italian accents weren't bad enough.
Oh, yeah. And more on some of these mob guys later. So he's working for this mob family, and I'll make a long story short. Everybody in L.A. Knows kung fu that's not Asian, and the Asian guy doesn't know kung fu.
Yes.
They send him on this cross-country road trip where he is delivering cocaine, yet he believes it is flour for his, because he's the cook, for his noodle recipe for the other families across the country. And, they come, he has these two women that are chasing after him. One is from a rival mobster, the other is a fed, and they meet the boss of bosses, who they introduce by using a James Bond knockoff.
Yes.
Because he is, of course, a James Bond villain mobster, complete with white cat on his lap. Wow. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Give more plot details, but it's not really that important.
Of course, the feds catch up, and you know they take out the mob, and yada yada.
Well, yeah, they catch up. They also inexplicably lose one of the packages of flour that's never addressed in the movie either.
No.
And when the feds catch up, rather than just luring them to a place where they meet up for some reason, like somebody would decide to meet up back up with the mob boss of all bosses after he's double-crossed them, they decide to try to use these guys for bait, even though they know they're inept. So it's just a ridiculous climax.
Yeah. Watching this one, I think I understood how you felt watching Troll 2.
Yes. Yes, that is exactly right. That is exactly right. Because it's an insult to the audience.
Yeah.
You're constantly being called stupid. And that any time they used the Godfather knockoff theme, it was like, you're so dumb, you're not going to be able to figure out that we're quite talking about mobsters here.
That was the other, I just remembered the other knockoff music that it irritated me.
What?
Staying Alive.
Oh yeah, where he does the Tony, you know, with the
walk
white
through the city, yeah.
Well, actually, the one thing I kept thinking throughout this entire movie was this was the very first Not Another Movie. This movie, I don't know if you want to call it.
Oh, okay. It took me a second to process that, yeah.
Or Not Another Gangster Movie.
Right, yeah.
All of the above. Or even Not Another Burt Reynolds movie, if you want to put that in there.
Yeah.
But this was it. They just threw references at you mercilessly, hoping that one stuck with you and got a laugh. If you know your early 80s commercials,
yeah,
they had all of them referenced in there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they left a single one out. The glass shatters. It was Memorex.
The
Chinese dragon crashing through the bar room after he tries the sake.
What was that a reference to? Because that went over my head.
I cannot remember the commercial, but they always had a bull crashing through the bar.
Oh, that's okay, right, I remember
now. And they were trying it.
Now I get that.
But that, you're right.
Because it actually lost me, not just in attention, but in plot, it lost me there, and I thought maybe it was another dream sequence that I missed I missed the little wavy lines bit too. Because he has a lot of fantasy segments.
Well, yeah. But they referenced every commercial. When they had the assassin, he referenced like every commercial that they left out.
Mm-hmm.
From Jell-O Pudding Pops.
Yeah.
I mean, things that were like, why is he even bringing these up? These aren't even funny.
See, I kind of, that amused me as well because it was so random.
Well, yeah, it was. It was just out there.
This the movie basically is what could have happened with Moscow and the Hudson if Yakov Smirnoff didn't realize that he's not a good enough comedic actor to pull off the lead role. You know, Yakov.
Well, here's the thing.
He knew he wasn't good enough for the lead role, so he gave it to Williams, even though it was based on his stand-up act.
Right.
Johnny Yoon decided, I'm a stand-up, but I can act.
Right. And I was kind of hoping, you know, thinking back on this movie, because I saw this movie, probably was 9.
Okay, so that explains it.
Yeah. You know, it was something on HBO. I caught with my grandfather, and I was 9. Back when cable was that one channel that you switched off from the regular TV to.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, go up to Grandpa's house, and they actually had like 30-something channels then.
Mm-hmm.
And, he had HBO.
Uh-huh.
And so we watched it there, and, you know.
And there was nudity in the original version, so I'm sure that, you know, was part of the appeal.
Was there?
In the hot tub scene in the original, in the original version, you see her, you do get a nude shot. They cut it out for the DVD to get a PG for rating.
Really? Okay, because I was wondering about that. That was all very odd how they had sex toys and.
Well, yeah, they didn't cut those out for the PG.
Right, and yet the nudity seemed to be like there was also, you know, the whorehouse too. I'm sure there must have been something in there too.
Hmm.
So I wonder if they were cut out back then, because I think if I were 9, I would have remembered seeing that.
Yeah, true. Now, there's one brief bit in this movie. I think this raises an important question.
What?
In one brief scene, I think there was another member of the Village People who was lost to the ages. Kung Fu Cowboy.
The Kung Fu Cowboy. Now, a lot of, like, what these people went on to do and stuff, remember how we always talked about there's a show that, you know, people seem to have?
All these actors tend to gravitate towards a particular series nowadays.
A number of these guys, especially the mobsters from the Italian mob, because there was a mob of every nationality in every city. And the Polish mob, of course, in Chicago is the most annoying, because it was hard to tell that they were Polish until you looked in the background and saw something that said Poland on it. So I was like, oh, that's what they're going for. But a lot of the Italian ones, they went on to do Night Court.
Ah.
Like Ralph Moro, who is the chauffeur, Freddy.
Who bears a striking resemblance to an actor, I think his name is David Hayter, comedic actor.
I think I know who you're talking about, but he was a regular on Night Court as one of the bums.
Okay.
Along with a couple of the other mobsters.
Mm-hmm.
I think he even had a stint on House, which is...
Well, I'm looking at his page now. He played a doctor on House, yes. He's credited with one episode, though. Saved by the Bell, that's a bellwether in one's career.
Oh, the car washer on the Seinfeld smelly car episode. Because, of course, he had the nose.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, he did, like, 7 episodes of Night Court as the same bum.
Yes. Well, hey, it's a step up from this.
Very true. Now, when we started, when, you know, I suggested doing this, I did have some higher expectations than what we did get, because they made a sequel.
Yes, yes. That doesn't mean anything, really. I think we know by now anything can get a sequel.
Yeah, but they made a sequel like 5 years later. It wasn't even like we got to capitalize on some of the cash we made. Johnny Yoon came back and wrote another movie and did it 5 years later. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Now, and again, you can count on one hand the number of times when a sequel is better than the original.
Well, he doesn't have a whole lot to live up to in this one, at least.
True, but it's about a 50-50, I would say. It can't be much worse, but the odds aren't good that it'll be better.
I'm just amazed to see that it was not another movie.
Mm-hmm.
I was stunned. Maybe the references that they were throwing out. I mean, was there a movie back then that they didn't reference that you could think of?
aside from like the obvious, you know, science fiction, to Star Wars and that stuff. But
there was no Star Wars or Apocalypse Now in there,
or Star Trek, or.
Yeah, he stayed away from sci-fi, but I mean, he had The Godfather, he had Rocky, he had Saturday Night Fever.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, some old references if you think about it, because this was 82. And Saturday Night Fever was like 3 years before this.
Yes. True.
Same with Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing movies from, you know, you had to really wonder what year this was actually made, because it was out in 82. But
right. It probably might have sat on a shelf for a while.
Yeah. Like, I think it might have just been a direct-to-HBO thing.
Uh-huh.
But also, this movie offered another example of drug use written by people who have no idea about drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, when they do the coke, and of course the cop decides they're all friendly, of course.
Yeah, that was. I did notice everybody was kind of happy and mellow when they you know, when the coke went into the exhaust system of the jail, and everybody was just inhaling it.
Right.
Uncontrollably. They got off, like, kind of mellow.
They got mellow and friendly, and this is the same drug that Lawrence Taylor would take before going out onto the football field.
Yeah.
And you know, ripping Joe Theismann from limb to limb.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, oh, they start singing together, arm in arm, even though before this they were ready to kill each other.
Yeah.
And it stopped a riot from happening somehow.
Coke
and
stopped
then,
a riot, yeah.
Yes. Starts driving as if he were drunk.
Mm-hmm. And Freddie gets out on the side, which... I gotta admit, that was a good effect. That was some good stunt work, I should say.
Well, yeah, it was. You just wondered why it was there.
Well, I bring that up because... Wikipedia calls it an action comedy.
Yeah.
Where was the action? I mean, we've gone over where is the comedy, but at least they tried. Where is the fight scenes had to be some of the slowest I've ever seen.
It was pretty, you know, I was going to begin the show by saying this was our first kung fu movie. And, oof.
Not really.
Yeah. We'll hold off on that. This does not count. This would be not another gangster movie, I think, rather than not another kung fu movie.
Yeah. And he gets away with walking around the streets of L.A. with a pair of nunchucks in his pocket for
well,
a large
original,
portion of the movie.
The original title of the movie, of course, was Fistful of Nunchucks.
Was it?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. So,
anything else?
No, I think we've covered this.
In closing, I think this has now become my worst movie of all time, and not in a good way.
I think the only thing I can say is really to, for my summary here is, I'm sorry.
Duly noted. My first movie going into this was The Haunting. I often said it wasted 2 hours of my life. This one was only wasted an hour and a half, but still.
Right. You know,
The Haunting, I think, may have been more enjoyable.
The time length was perfect, but it still felt too long. It was only an hour and a half, but it felt like it should have been 45 minutes.
I normally play solitaire while watching these movies, particularly
because
I've seen most of them. I've seen before, so I don't really need to watch it too closely. This time I was tempted to boot up WoW. I think I played a game of Bejeweled, like stuff that took up the full screen. So okay, I think this is going to be a short episode.
Yeah.
What have we learned?
Whew. I think his noodles would have been better if he had made it with the coke.
Mm-hmm. I learned that, like, as I pointed out early in the episode, racism was okay in the early 80s.
Yeah. They covered everyone, though, didn't they?
Just about, yeah.
The Jewish mob in Vegas, the Polish mob in Chicago, the Italian mobs with,
in L.A. and New York,
worst accents.
Yeah. And I swear at the beginning, and we're diverging, but just a brief bit before we get to the ratings.
Yeah.
I swear I saw Lloyd Kaufman at that first mob scene in the beginning at the table.
Yeah, if only they could have gotten Christopher Lee to play the boss of bosses.
Oh, wow. Then it would have been good.
A much better movie.
So, brains?
I'm going to be generous with this one since I think it is the original, not another movie, even though, wow, I don't know if I should be generous for that reason or not.
Yeah.
And I am a sucker for the Hemingway girls. I will give this a full brain.
Okay. I think because, like I said, there were a couple of... I did get a couple of chuckles. There were some good jokes in the church scene. And I did, of course, get my usual sadistic enjoyment out of watching... that I get from watching a complete train wreck.
Oh, some of those jokes that bombed were just... I mean, it was the funniest damn thing. Not that the jokes were funny.
But the bombing, yeah.
Funny that they thought they were funny.
I'm going to go 1.5.
You're going to go 1.5?
Yeah.
Wow, I was, you know what, I almost gave it only half with that goddamn Statue of Liberty thing at the end.
Yeah, you're right. No, I'm going to go, yeah, I'm going to have to take it down to 1.
Yeah.
I'm changing my rating.
1 is being, I think 1 is being very, very generous. It's, I don't know, if you have nothing else better to do, I would still sit through it and watch it. But,
no,
I
can't recommend it under any circumstances. I mean, if you got a gun to your head, someone's forcing you, fine. But if you got to save your life.
You're going to give this a 3.5.
I mean, you know, okay, if you have no internet, the cable's out, all you have is a copy of this movie, and there are no books, and you're locked inside... then maybe.
Hey, if you like a good train wreck, it doesn't get any better than this.
True.
This is a train wreck.
I think I may have to reference this one in the next couple episodes.
And for years, I had thought that was Jackie Chan, actually. And it would have been...
Well, it would have been much better with Jackie
Chan. It would
have
been enjoyable. There have been some great scenes.
The action would have been much better, and Jackie Chan is a much better actor. Which really isn't saying much.
A lot of the people that worked in this never worked again.
And there's good reason for that.
IMDb. Never worked again.
I stopped acting because I thought I was bad at it, and this movie is, it made me think that maybe I could have had a career.
Maybe.
So, until next week, I'll as I always say, stop by the site, zombietakeout.com. Email us, zombietakeout@gmail.com. Send us recommendations. Send us feedback. You know, movies you'd like to come movies you'd like us to take a look at. Also, iTunes, subscribe, rate, review. It'll get other people to check out the show.
Hell yes.
And as I said, next week, it'll be...
the second half of our Bruce double feature.
Yes, My Name is Bruce, which I promise is more enjoyable.
It has to be. It's Bruce Campbell.
Yes. So until then, always remember and never forget, wherever you go in life,
there you are. There you are.
Take a good look at my face. I'm an Oriental. It's cool, bro. I don't want no trouble this time. It's cool. But next time, it's gonna be me and you.
Title of the movie, of course, was Fistful of Nunchucks.
Was it?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.